Acts chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 26 down through verse 36. Acts 13, 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. I love verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And when he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people, and we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, and here's the phrase again, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Well, let's read verse 37. But he, speaking of Jesus, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. I'm not going to preach on that, but I just wanted to read it. Amen. The 30-something years, a season of service, a season of service. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, needing help. And Lord, we ask, dear God, that you would minister to us. Help us, Lord, to understand, dear God, the brevity of life. May this series cause us to live very purposefully, please, dear God. Lord, our life is a vapor. It really does appear for a very short time. It vanisheth away. We really don't have a year to waste. We don't have a month to waste. We don't have a day to waste. And Lord, I believe we can all take a look at the things that have transpired in this past week and understand that the coming of the Lord Jesus draweth nigh. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, wherever we find ourselves in life, you would help us, dear God, to do and fulfill the purposes of these times of our life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've enjoyed preaching this series. We began several weeks ago now. 3 weeks ago, preaching on the childhood years, the first decade of life, a season of growing, and then the teenage years, a season of preparing, the 20-something years, a season of, here's the word, responsibility, and now the 30-something years, a season of service. I'll show you where I get that, and we're going to use that theme throughout the teaching of life. Sadly, these Bible principles and emphasis of life have been, for the most part, lost. Stay with me. Watch. Let's just review. But you know what? Childhood years, a season of growing. You know what? No matter what the world does to try to change that, kids still grow. But I wonder how many of them are being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're growing physically, even growing mentally, maybe growing socially, but are they growing spiritually? And so I think of what the devil has done there. The teenage years that ought to be a season of preparing has turned into a season of partying, having parties. Okay, you spend a week with these teenagers and see how well you can talk. The 20-something years, which ought to be a season of responsibility, watch this, has turned into a season of irresponsibility. And thank God there's exceptions to all these, and most of those exceptions will be found within the church house, amongst God's people. The 30-something years, a season of service, I'm afraid for many this decade is nothing more than a season of selfishness. And so what we want to do is we want to live our lives according to the mandates and principles of the Bible. And I want to talk to you about this unique decade, As I said, I don't think any of these teachings ought to be ignored, preacher. That's not where I'm at in life. No, but if you learn some things, you can help people that are there. Those of you that are no longer children, hopefully, are better equipped to help our children. Those of you that are no longer teenagers are better equipped to encourage and emphasize the right things in the teenage years. You may not be 20-something, but you can encourage a 20-something. And you may not be in your 30s yet. Some of you are looking forward. Some are looking back at that. But at the same time, let me say this. You know what? We can learn something from all of these principles, because every one of these truths are eternal truths and can help us tremendously. Let's talk about this decade, the 30-something years, a season of service. I'm going to have you use your Bible for a little bit here. If you'll go to Numbers chapter 4, I'm going to show you something that I think is just fascinating and challenge you in this matter of serving the Lord. Numbers chapter number 4. Hey, don't fail in the busyness of this decade, the 30-something years. Don't fail to serve the Lord. We're going to start with talking about strong service, a season of strong service in your local assembly. There's an interesting little portion of scripture. I won't go back and teach all of the background on it, but I want you to notice something that I like this. I think it's fascinating. I love this study. And you see certain things that are identified with certain time periods of life in the scriptures. But in Numbers chapter 4, verse 21, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the houses of their fathers by their families. Notice this, verse 23, interesting. From 30 years old and upward until how old? 50 years old, shalt thou number them, all that enter in to perform the service, to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Now think about that, if you will, think about that. And so we have them mentioned very specifically. Verse 29, if you jump down there, as for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families by the house of their fathers. Here it is again, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them, every one that entereth into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, folks, I'm just going to give you this thought. This doesn't mean that everybody that's under 30 or over 50 should not participate in service of the Lord. But I will say this, if you take a step back and you look at the entire assembly, there is something very wonderful about from the time a person turns 30 until they turn 50, and that age group in the church and the importance of that age group in the church. I told our 20-somethings last week that, you know what, it's time for you to begin to actively support the Church of Jesus Christ, both financially and with your labor. I would say this, our teens and our 20-somethings, can I say this? For the most part, your youth and your zeal and your youthful strength and your willingness to get into a yoke and learn from older people, those are years of preparation. Those are years of taking on responsibilities. But if you think about it, when somebody hits about 30 to 50, if we were to take a look over the years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, when it comes to getting to a point in time where you can begin to really step up and serve. Now watch this, serve. By the time in your life, you should have by this time in your life, from 30 to 50, you should have the strength to bear the burden of service. Watch this. And also the maturity and wisdom to be entrusted with key responsibilities within the assembly. And it, like I said, it doesn't mean that if you're younger than 30, you can't step up. Hey, don't wait till 30 to start. But I'm just saying, you kind of earn your stripes till then. You build a pattern of life. You know, you're in the preparation stages. You're getting in the yoke with some older men. You're learning the basis of it. But good night, by the time you hit 30 and going into your 30s and then in your 40s, God takes a look at those two decades and said, you know what? Bear the burden. Carry the responsibility. Hey, you know what we need? We need men and women in the church in that age group that have the stability, spiritual stability and maturity to be able to say, preacher, you know what? You can hand me some responsibilities and I'll do it biblically and I'll do it scripturally. By the way, you ought to have some maturity by then spiritually in your life so that you can be given these responsibilities. You ought to have by that time grown into some areas of your life where you're not still battling over what I call elementary issues of carnality and worldliness. You ought to be able to step past and over some of these things and get to the point where, you know what, you can be trusted and set in positions where people can begin to look to you for leadership and set the right spiritual example within the church. And I wanted to challenge each and every one of you. Listen to me. When we talk about a decade of service, let me just remind you of this. There is no greater compliment that you can receive than to be called a servant of the Lord. Wasn't it Jesus that said these words in Matthew chapter 23? But be not ye called rabbi, for there is one master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your masters, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. It's kind of interesting, and it fits this portion of life. But if you're not careful, you get to 30, between 30 and 50, and you're more interested in getting a title in the church than you are just bearing work and doing the burden of work in the church. Jesus warned us against that. He said that's what the Pharisees are interested in. They want to be called masters. They want to be called fathers. They want a title. They're looking for some kind of a, they want to be called rabbi. They're looking for a title. Hey, listen, I'm not looking for a title. I'm just looking for a job. I'm just looking for an opportunity to serve, to be a blessing. And anyway, that has to be. Hey, preacher, what'd you do this week? You know what I went? I did. We packed up a group of young people, and I had the opportunity, I mean this, of serving them this week. That was my responsibility. Was I to lead them? Yeah. Was I to watch over them? Yeah. But my primary purpose was to serve them. If you ask your young person, I guarantee you probably a dozen times the pastor came to them this week and said, are you guys all right? Do you need anything? Are you all right? Do you need anything? Are you all right? Do you need anything? Listen, folks, this matter of trying to get a title and a position is more about what people can do for me and feed my ego and build my status. The matter of becoming a servant is where can I have an opportunity to help the most people. And so in your 30s, this season of service, you enter a window. Now watch this, you're entering a window. Anybody 50 and older understands what I'm talking about. Come on now. It's not that we can't still do, amen. It's not that we're ready to lay everything aside. No, no way. It's not that we're ready to retire from the service of God. No, but I'm just telling you, some things, we'll talk about this when we get to the 50s, but things begin to change, and you have that 30 to 50 window where you have a strength. You ought to have a combination of both strength and wisdom and maturity to be able to put your shoulders under the burden of the local assembly and the service of God and say, preacher, you know what? We can do this. We can do that. You tell us what to do and we can do it. You give us instruction and we're teachable. We'll bring our humility with us. We don't need to be patted on the back. We don't need to, you know what? The kid's stuff's over. Come on, by the time you're 30, the kid's stuff's over. All right, silly teenage stuff is over. You know what? This is real. This is forever. This is eternity. This is heaven and hell. And so, preacher, you know what? We're here. We've grown in the Lord. We've gotten strength. We've got the maturity. We've developed some people skills. We can be a blessing and a help to the local assembly. If you haven't got that by 30, 35 years of age, you really need to do a check of your priorities in life and let the Holy Spirit do an examination of what you really are all about. So, number one, the 30-something years is a season of strong service in the local assembly. Let me give you the next one. Well, I want to preach on being a servant some more there. Wasn't it Jesus, the last thing he did in the upper room? Am I reading this right? He riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherein he was girded. Huh. Wow. And then he goes on and says this. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and was set down, he said unto them, know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Watch this. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. You know, by 30 years of age, you ought to just be able to enter into selfless service. And because of that, watch this. I watch a lot of people in their 30s and 40s, and you know what? They'll get better. They'll get in that two-decade period, they'll either get better or they'll get bitter. They'll get better or they'll get bitter. Now, you better listen to what I'm going to have to say. preacher, I want to be happy in that stretch, then follow the Lord Jesus Christ and his example here. A person never is truly happy. I'm talking about God ordained, God anointed joy and happiness being served. If the only way you can be happy is when somebody's doing that for you, you're still down in the childhood years. I don't care if you are 35. You're still down in your teenage years. I don't care if you are in your 40s. Are you listening? Preacher, this is tough. I know we've got an entire culture that is hindering and hampering the growing up process. I mean, good night. 30 years of age and you haven't figured out the whole world. You know. I always say this. I'm going to start calling some of you Boswell. Say, what's Boswell? You get on, go out of Terre Haute, get on 63 North. You drive 63 North, it'll come back to 41. You go on there, little town on the left-hand side called Boswell. And there's a sign that says Boswell. And underneath it, it says this, the center of the universe. This is good for us. Amen. Amen. The people in their 30s still think that the sun came up to say hi to you. The entire world was born so that they could line up in a line and figure out a way to make you happy that day. This is good. Come on now. Why is it quiet in here? Because we got a stinking selfish generation. Got a stinking selfish culture. Okay, I'm going to hit some other things, but watch this. If you don't fix this, everything else I'm going to say, you won't be able to do. You won't be able to do it properly. Hey, by the time you're 30, you ought to figure it out. You know what? This world isn't about me. This world is about the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him, and it's about others and seeking service to others. And the best day that I can possibly have is a day where I take my towel and find somebody with dirty feet and help wash the feet. If Jesus could humble himself to do that to his disciples, you can't humble yourself and plug in around here somewhere and say, preacher, just give me a little group of children to serve. Give me a ministry. Give me something where I can go and serve people. I don't need the spotlights. I don't need the limelight. Just give me a behind the scenes job. Hey, put me on a bus route. I need some 30-somethings stepping up into the bus ministry. I need some 30-somethings step up into soul winning opportunity. I need some 30-somethings saying, hey, you know what? It's not about me. It's about serving God and serving others. All right, number two, it's a season of finding. I want to give you this because I want to help you here. A season of finding and beginning your life service. You say, preacher, in the 30s, stay with me here. Watch this. Go to Genesis chapter 41. I'm going to have you turn to three portions of scripture. Go with them. It'll help you to read them. Genesis chapter number 41. And if you will, look at verse number 46, we see a statement that's made, all scripture given by inspiration of God, all scripture's profitable. And so we see a statement that's made about Joseph, who of all the Old Testament characters is, I think, the most, that's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 46, it says this, and are you there? Genesis 41, 46, and Joseph was how old? 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Remember this, I don't have time to teach his whole story, but you know what? He's a little boy. His dad gave him a coat of many colors. He starts having dreams. He starts telling those dreams. People don't mind you dreaming, they just don't want you telling them. Amen. He starts telling the dreams, doesn't make a family happy, doesn't make people happy. But you know what? Those dreams were coming from God. That wasn't some ego trip that a young boy was on. God was putting some dreams in his heart. And you know what? These young men that are getting dreams of serving God, that has nothing to do with ego. That comes from God. And so he's got some dreams. And you know what? Anybody that begins to dream about doing the unusual, beyond the usual, come on, crazy good stuff. I mean, anybody that begins to dream that, you know what? People start throwing rocks at him and criticize and say, oh, you're just full of pride. And so what happened? The brothers, God help us in this world. Man, the church ought to be rooting on those that are excited about serving God, not throwing them in a pit somewhere and trying to sell them into slavery. But his own brothers threw him in a pit. His own brothers sold him into slavery. Wait a minute, what happened to your dreams then? Now watch this, folks. We're talking about from 12 years of age to 29 years of age. He goes through a series, a roller coaster rides of up and downs that, you know what, at times don't make any sense at all. I'm helping some of you in your 20s right now. I know I'm preaching to the 30-somethings, but I'm going to help some of you in your 20s right now. It doesn't bother me a bit if you're 25, 26, 27, and you really haven't figured out exactly everything why I'm on this planet. I believe the preparation years for a young man is not 12 to 18 or 12 to 21, but 12 to 29. And isn't it interesting that Joseph never did figure out exactly what all of this roller coaster ride was about until he stood before Pharaoh and it all came together? Now I know why I was put on this planet. Let me get busy doing what God's asked me to do. Now stay with me. He's not the only one. Go, if you will, to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. All right, 2 Samuel. Oh, preacher, I'm 23, 24, and 25. I'm 27. What are people saying? It seems like I haven't settled anything. Wait a minute. Stay with me. God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I mean, come on now. God doesn't just do that in the childhood years. God doesn't just do that in the teenage years. God does that all the way up until in your 30s. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, if you will, in verse number 3. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse number 3. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. How old was he? Verse 4. David was what? 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. All right, let's backtrack on David before this. All right, man, just like Joseph had that young man experience, that dream, that coat of many colors, aspirations, dreams, God's putting his hand up, God's doing something. And then Joseph goes into this roller coaster of craziness until 30 years of age, and there's a day when he went, wow, okay, I see all that now. Are you with me? All right, now here's King David. And you know what he does? He takes a sling, go visits his brother, and has a sling in his pocket. And because you know what? Shepherd has a sling. And you know what? Next thing you know, here comes Goliath. And next thing you know, they're singing songs about Saul and comparing him to David. And by the way, David's coming out more glorious than Saul. And then there comes the time to go back and work for his dad. Then there comes the time to start training as a soldier. And then there's the jealousy of Saul. And then there's the running for his life. And then there's the hiding in the mountains and the times down in the land of Philistines and all of that. And you know, watch this roller coaster. Here we go. Roller coaster. What's God doing? Watch this. You're not going to be prepared to do your life's work if all of your teens and 20s is just this happy-go-lucky, you know, this is what you do, you know. Man, that was a little strange right there. But, yeah. And, you know, you go, I shouldn't do that, especially after this week, amen. Are we videotaping this? Let's not videotape this. All right, thank God, all right. But, you know, that's we just want this bed of roses. We just want that, oh, you know, and accolades and everything I do turns to gold and I got a Midas touch and we've never. Listen, you ought to weep a lot of tears in your 20s because you're not going to be able to know how to help people that weep tears if you don't weep tears. You're going to have to face some disappointments in your teens and 20s. Come on now. Some of you are mad at God already and you're not even 27 years old. You got a chip on your shoulder to God because, good night, your life hadn't been perfect. He's got to prep you. He's got to prep you. Okay, I came to work at Blessed Hope Baptist Church just before I turned 33 years of age. Everything prior to that, I think, was getting me ready to be here to first do a stint as youth pastor, now to pastor this church. And I'm going to tell you something, there are a lot of crazy things before that I could sit here and talk to you and whine to you about and say, I don't think that was fair and that didn't work out and all this stuff. And you know what? We got people, watch it, we got people quitting in their 20s. And never getting to figure out why they were put on this planet. You know what? Because you think the world's supposed to be a bed of roses. You stop worrying about what people think. Okay, let me tell you, I got a text from Brother Jesse McCain. I'm going to tell you something. You know, I know I'm the one that preaches against you, use the word proud. And I do think we better look at that word in the Bible and understand. But you know what? I'm very thankful for that young man. One of the hardest decisions I've ever made in the ministry is, I don't know, why did I give him to Gerald, man? I'm going to tell you why. I got to rethink that one, man. That was not a good decision, but he's over there just tearing it up over there. I mean, he's just so, but you know what? Watch this. Here's a young man. You say, preacher, you know what I like about him? He's not worried about what the other graduates in his college, you know, showing up somewhere and saying, what are you doing? And having some, you know what he's doing? Being prepared. You know what he's doing? Watch this. Every single time his pastors pulled him in the office and say, let me tell you what I think you need to do next. He said, preacher, if that's what you want me to do, let's do it. That's what he's doing. You know what he's doing? He's being prepared. You say, good night. Isn't he 25? Yeah, he's 25. He's a kid. Come on, people, help him out. Come on, you got a whole life ahead of you. And you know what? Everything, listen, you know what God's doing? He's saying this. And by the way, the Bible says this. If you can't be trusted with another man's mammon, why should you be given riches? If you can't take orders and you can't follow, why do you think you should lead? And by the way, I'm just going to make a little prediction. I know the devil's listening. But the devil, listen, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That boy, young man, and that little sweet wife of his, keep that attitude. You just watch what's going to happen down the road. Now listen, stop trying to dictate God's will for your life. Stop trying to, watch this, heartache-proof yourself. Okay, well, I'll take something, but it's got to be on my terms. I'm not interested. God's not interested. It's good for you, amen? It's good for you. You know what? What I'm saying is this. It's not all going to make sense. I mean, young people, teenagers, watch this. This is why your teenage years for preparation. 20-something, what did I say? 20-something years is about responsibility. It's about getting in a yoke with somebody and learning some things so that God can take you out of that yoke, put you in another yoke where somebody else can get in that yoke and you can start teaching them some things. But what I'm saying is this. Listen, a lot of people in their 20s still, you know what? You did this a while and you're going to do this a while. I don't care if it's spiritual or secular. A lot of times this is true. God moves you around in different jobs and different positions and different places. And everything that you're doing, you don't realize it now, is teaching you some things for what God is going to eventually have you do. So that's why I say never pass up an opportunity to, if it's healthy and holy, to learn anything in life that God gives you an opportunity to learn. Because, well, I'll never use it. I hate it. Young people, look up here. Stop saying that about your schoolwork. Stop saying that about certain subjects. You don't know what you're going to need and what you're going to use because you don't know where you're going to be yet. I don't know why they teach us English. I'll never use English. I'll never use this. I don't care if there's 7 parts of speech or 10 or 12 or 15. It don't make any difference to me. We can't talk in this county anyway. I don't know why it matters. Yeah, I sound like Jerry Ross about 15 years of age, not knowing that one of these days God would want me to author some books. So you don't know what's ahead for you. You don't even know what's valuable yet. So don't you pass up anything. You ought to study algebra as if your life depended on it, because you don't know one of these days everything God's going to have you accomplish. It may include that. Okay, so what I'm saying is good. Night, embrace the opportunities. And you're not always going to figure it out. You're 20-something, and God's going to move you here, and he may move you around here, and you may do that. And by the way, some things he'll let you succeed at. Some things you may look back, and it seems like you failed at. But I tell you, listen, folks, failure a lot of times is a better teacher than success. If you'll let it be. Come on, if you'll let it be. Some of the most important lessons I learned in life wasn't on a mountaintop. It was down in a valley. And God is, you know what he's taken? Watch this. I want you to picture this for a minute. Here's the potter's wheel, and here's a lump of clay, and here's a 12-year-old. And then he starts doing this. And he'll do it all the way through your teens and all the way through your 20s. And you know, you're not going to understand why he stops the wheel at times. You're not going to understand why the pressure's put on. You're not going to understand why he reaches in and grabs a chunk of something that you thought was fine and rip it out and then smash it down and start remaking it again. But you know what? You are never going to be a vessel meet for the master's use if you jump off that potter's wheel and you're not willing to go through the process. Come on, those of you that are older, is this connecting with you? Help these young people out a little bit. How many things can you look back, Brother Joe? Can we look back, Brother Tim, all the way through your military service, everything, all the crazy stuff that happened in that stretch, and yet how many of those life lessons come to help turn you into the person you are today, to understand certain things, to get certain things, to have certain qualities of life? What I'm saying is your path's not going to be my path. My path ain't going to be your path, but let God lead you. Because you know what? Probably it's going to be in your... I did a quick study, didn't do it all the way. Almost most of the kings that became king in Israel and Judah became king of Israel and Judah in their 30s. And if it'll help you, for sake of time, let me read you this. In Luke chapter 16, he that is faithful in that which is... I'm sorry, here we go. Luke chapter 3, and when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, wait a minute, folks, watch this. Let's just pick three pretty good Bible characters. Joseph, you know when he figured it out? Wow, this is why I was put here, 30 years of age. You know when David said, oh, wow, I get to be king finally. I got anointed when I was young, but I get to be king. You know when that was? 30 years of age. You know when Jesus, watch this, Jesus began his ministry, 30 years of age. Say, preacher, this is good. Let's think about this. Come on. If he's our ultimate example, let's think about it. So, preacher, what was he doing between 12 and 30? You know what he was doing? He was following Joseph to the carpenter shop. He was sawing boards. He was crafting carts. He was learning life lessons. He was growing, the Bible says, both in stature and in wisdom and favor with God and man. Hey, you know what? This was the Son of God. If God would have wanted to, he could have started his ministry at 12, and he could have been crucified at 15. But you know, Jesus didn't just come to live. He came to provide an example of life. And it's amazing how he followed this pattern as if to teach us. Listen, we think that the teenage years are the only preparation years. But honestly, folks, preparation and responsibility go hand in hand to prepare you then for service in your 30s. And so think about those things and let it sit. I really meant that and wanted that to be an encouragement to many of you in your 20s. Preacher, here I am 26, 7, 8. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I still got a real handle on why God put me here. You know what? Be patient. Just do whatever God has you to do today. And some of you may be even saying, preacher, I'm in my early 30s, and you know what? I'm not sure I got a grasp on that. You know what? Let me just say this, okay? By the time you hit 35 years of age, I mean this, please listen to me. If you haven't figured out some things, and I'm not saying everything, because God reveals different purposes for our life all through our life. But if you can't summarize in a couple sentences why God put you on this earth by the time you're 35, I'm not being smart. I'm not picking on you. I think you need to come and sit down and meet with some older people. And you need a sounding board to help you figure that out. Because you know what? God did not intend you to drift throughout your entire life, never figuring out a purpose for life, a season of finding and bringing and beginning your life service to God. Number three. Let me say this about the 30-something years. It ought to be a season of loving and rearing your children. Okay? Loving and rearing your children. And let me talk to you a little bit about this 30-somethings, okay? There's a lot going on. I get it. There's a lot going on. Life hasn't stopped. And there's a lot of things you need to still be doing. But let me encourage you to serve in your local assembly. Serve your church. Number two, find and begin your life service. Serve your generation like David did. Serve your generation. Number three, a season of loving and rearing your children. Serve your children. Now, I'm going to skew this a little bit because everybody's life's a little different here as far as when you got married and started having a family. Okay, so some of you are going to have to adjust what I'm going to teach you right now about 5 years ahead. Some of you are going to have to adjust what I'm teaching about 5 years behind. There's a few of you that might have to go 20 years ahead. I don't know how all this works, but for most people, for the vast majority of us, the 30-something years, from the time you turn 30 to the time you turn 40, your children, watch this, your children are going to grow up in front of your eyes. Now, please listen to me. Watch this. Stay with me. The day I turned 30 years of age, now think about this. I had my wife sit down so I make sure I got the figures right because you know how that is. The women know. The day I turned 30 years of age, my children were 5, 3, and 3 months old. 5, 3, and 3 months old. Now watch this. By the time I turned 40, think about the difference in this. My children were 15, 13, and 10. And you know what? Their childhood, for the most part, was done. And it happened in my 30s. We'll talk a little bit about helping your teenagers next week because that's something key to know in your 40s. And again, if you adjusted a little bit, had a bigger family, I get this. You know, some of you have grandchildren already and, you know, your wife is still pregnant. I get that. That's good, you know. Whatever you want to do, the more the merrier, man. Bring them in. My job is to fill the pulpit. Your job is to fill the nursery. I'm good with it. Amen. Just keep them coming. All right. I hope you'll start a TV show, 21 and counting. That'd be all right. I love it. And I'm good with all that. And I understand that we're making generalization here, but I want to teach you something. Watch this. This 30-something years, let me talk to the dads first. These 30-something years are busy years. But man, the kids are growing up. So I'm going to advocate for your children for a few minutes, okay? Dads, as busy as you are, this is the decade you need to secure the hearts of your children. You need to secure the hearts of your children. That means you may have to do it early mornings. You may have to do it some late nights because I understand what this world demands just to be able to provide your family. But you cannot use the busyness of life to check out for a decade and miss the childhood years of your children. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Are you listening, man? Watch this. Wasn't it the Bible that said in Malachi that God was going to send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the heart and dread of the great and dreadful day of the Lord? He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Now, fathers, you have to purposely take the time to turn your heart to your children during those years. Don't get this attitude. Watch this. Well, those are mama years, and when they get to be teenagers, then I'll... No. Those children need a daddy during their children's. They need a daddy now. Okay, like I said, it may be late nights, it may be early mornings, it may be half a day on Saturday, it may be serving the Lord together with them on Sunday, but I'm just telling you, they need their daddy, okay? You say, preacher, I thought you said it was a season of service. It is. Serve your children. Watch this. Serve your children and raise them to be servants. Serve your children and raise them to be servants. Daddy, you need to be there for them. And that means you're going to have to block out some time. 30-somethings, listen to me. I know you're at an age where you just, you know what, you finally got a little bit extra money, and because of that, you want to play around in extra hobbies. But if you're not careful, you're going to, and I'm not against it. Wives, don't take this home like a club and beat your husband with it. I'm talking to them. Listen to me. You can fill your life up with work and hobbies and miss the childhood years of your children. Now, listen to me. Get the hearts of your kids. Children spell love, how do they spell it? T-I-M-E. And that means you're going to have to take the time. Take a time with them collectively, do things as a family, take time with them individually, because every one of them need to feel special on their own. They need some private daddy time and private mommy time. And so get the hearts of your children. Dads, keep listening, but I'm going to talk to the moms. Watch this. Please listen to me, moms. And you're not going to regret it if you'll take this good biblical advice, okay? And I'm going to show you. This isn't Jerry Ross's ideas or philosophies. This isn't something we reached back in the 1950s and decided we were going to teach and forgot that you were liberated. What you need to do is get back into the Bible and let the Bible liberate you from liberation. All right? Well, that was good. I don't even have that in my notes. Listen, moms. Did you hear what I said? They're 5, they're 3, and they're 3 months, and in 10 years, they're 15, 13, and 10, and where were you? And what did you miss? Okay, it's not time to be chasing a career. You have a career. Say, preacher, where's that? Well, in Titus chapter 2, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So this, whatever it is we're going to read next is sound doctrine. Doesn't say speak those things which Jerry Ross thinks has sound doctrine. Aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise. They be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Watch this, young women. Listen, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Oh, young ladies don't have to be taught how to love their children. That's natural. Then why does it say that the aged women need to teach the young women to love their children? Because you know what? You do have a motherly, natural affection for your children. But you know what? Children are a handful, and children are a lot of work. Watch this. And is that career really about a career, or is it an escape? Now, let me keep reading. Watch this. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. This is Titus 2, 1 through 5. To be discreet, chaste, and the next phrase is this, keepers at home. good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Preacher, the culture's changed. I know, but the Bible hasn't. Yeah, but you can't make it on one income. Yeah, you can. You just can't have as many toys. Okay. And you can't offload your responsibilities. And by the way, it's probably costing you more to work than it is that you're making. Almost as much. Stay with me. You're deceiving yourself. Well, we need the extra money. If you didn't have the job, you wouldn't need a lot of the money that you're saying that you need. Okay, you want to go to, you got babies and you want to go to work. So now you got to spend money on daycare, which is almost as much as a minimum wage job per day. Am I wrong? Is it more? So if all you're doing is making a minimum wage and pay a daycare, then you know what you're doing. And I'm going to say some things. You know what? I don't have a person in mind in here. I don't go after people. I preach Bible principles. So don't get out here saying he was after me. No, God's word is after you if we're preaching right now, all right? Don't carry a chip on your shoulder out of here. I'm talking about when you have babies. Me and my wife got married, didn't have children for a little while. She worked a part-time job. I worked a full-time job. She had babies. Guess what? She's a mommy. That was her job. Now watch this. Well, so you're going to work, and then you're going to take how much of the money that you make every day and hand it over to a daycare. So are you making any money? Then you got to have a second car because now you got to both go to work. Now you got to have a wardrobe. And now you don't eat meals at home because it's hard to, so you're eating out more. Come on, do the math. You're not making anything. And what are you missing? What's it costing you? It's costing you the opportunity to watch them take their first steps. Some daycare worker shouldn't come up to you and say, hey, by the way, saw your kid walk today. It's good for us. No, preacher, you don't understand. We've got to work. And besides that, I don't do the daycare. I have grandma and grandpa watch them. You look right up here and look in my eyeballs. It is not your mom and dad's responsibility to raise your kids. And you shouldn't guilt them into that. Now, again, you can get mad at me if you want to. I'm glad to see the grandkids come. And I'm glad to see them go. And brother, we are not, you know it's true, we are not wired at this age to be taking care of kids 40, 50 hours a week. And we don't want to be their parents. We want to be their grandparents. Now, you know what? Why grandparents, for the most part, are raising kids, and they are all over this country. Because you know what? Mama, the mom, wants an escape hatch. She wants to go out and act like she's a teenager again. She wants a job, and she wants her girlfriends, and she wants her money in her pocket, and she wants her career, and then she wants either a daycare or grandma to raise the kid. Didn't I say something about 20-somethings with years of responsibility? Bible says keepers at home. Let's just say that phrase together. Keepers at home. Let's say it again. Keepers at home. One more time. Keepers at, yeah, but Oprah says, yeah, Oprah's a wicked heathen that's going to split hell wide open if she don't get saved. Why don't you turn off daytime television and open the Bible? Stop worrying. Stop, you know, Katie Couric is your hero. Or what is it, the talk? You listen to those wicked women and you get your philosophies of life from them. That's why you can't think straight. You've been systematically brainwashed by a bunch of wicked heathen women that, by the way, take a look at their personal lives. I don't mean the photo ops with their kids. I mean, find their kids later on when they're in therapy and on drugs and in rehab because mama was going to be superwoman and her career was more important than her kids. I say, preacher, this is tough. Amen. Come on. What did I say? It was a season of what? No, service responsibility was the 20s, but you're listening. God bless her, man. Matter of fact, you made me question it, but the 30s is a season of service. Guess what, moms? You know what you get to do during those years? You serve them children. And by the way, they'll rise up and call you blessed. I know we got single moms in here that don't have a choice. I'm not picking at you. I know that's a whole different thing. I get it. I got it. But you know what, husbands? A lot of women are going out working because guys are too lazy to work. God pity them. I mean, God pity them. Say, preacher, can you counsel them? Yeah, behind the barn with a 2x4. Amen, brother. Come on. Let's take it behind the bar. There ain't no counsel you can give somebody except behind the bar with a 2x4, you know. Because a slothful man, a lazy man, is wiser in his own conceits than, you know, 100 wise men that try to tell him different. Young men, go to work. Sitting at home playing video games while your wife is at work. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? It is not your wife's job to pay the bills and put food on the table and pay for the rent. It is your job. It is your job, sir. That's not Jerry Ross's opinion. That's not old-fashioned. That's the Word of God. That's original intent all the way from Genesis chapter 1 on. Come on now, this is good for him. What we've got, and you know, don't like me, but I'm helping you right now. If you'll let me, I'm helping you. Well, we've got a bunch of 30-somethings that's still back here in the childhood years. We've got a bunch of 30-somethings way back here in the teenage years, and it's time to grow up. Because you know what? Us old folks aren't going to be around much longer to keep paying into your future. And you're taking about everything we can make, and we're going to be gone not to make it pretty soon. And I don't know what you're all going to do. But it's time to take care of business. Love your kids. I got off on that, but love your kids. I mean, folks, love them. Good night. Daddies, give them. I mean, hug them every time you see them. And squeeze them hard. I always thought if I squeezed them hard enough, I could keep them little. But they don't. They grow up, and they grow up quick. And don't complain. Ladies, listen to me, please. Don't sit around in groups. And I know these days are difficult. And I started to talk to the husbands, and then that rabbit ran through, and I had to chase it. But husbands, listen to me. Those years are hard on your wives. Okay? You go to work, and you say, well, see, I work, so she didn't have to. So when I come home, she oughta. What do you think she was doing? You stay home with those four little Comanches, and you... You'll be begging to go back to work, man. Amen. God cursed us to make us have to go to work, and we've thanked him ever since. Amen. So, I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. And ladies, I want you to know that your pastor understands this. You know, sometimes I get up here and I kind of throw a general, you know, come on, folks, we need to step up and all this. And I don't want you to use your children as an excuse to take 10 years off from serving God or helping around here. That's not right either. Come on now. Come on. Let's balance things out. But at the same time, you know what? There's a lot of things that a young lady that's got this, you know, stair-step toddlers, and praise the Lord, good. God bless you. Like I said, the more the merrier. But you know what? That's a lot. You know what your full-time job is? In your 30s, just trying to keep up with them all and love them, make sure good night, they don't run out of the house naked. You think I'm kidding? All right. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. We're not done preaching yet. Bow your head and close your eyes. All right, ladies, the truth. How many of you have had one child that's run out of the door naked before? Raise your hand. All over the auditorium. Amen. All right. Okay. I mean, you just keep clothes on them. That's a good day. And, you know, you got 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever kids, you know. And you come home, sir, and you've been working all day, and you walk in, and you know what? How come there's a toy on the floor? You idiot. You're lucky you have a house. I just can't live like a pig. I just don't like this. I don't know what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. Stop it. Let me teach you something. Husbands, watch this. Pick up the toy, walk over, take it. You know, she's got one she's holding here and one's hanging on her leg and she's trying to cook you. Where's my supper? Come on, I'm helping you. No, the guys are looking at me like, you're not helping us. You're betraying us, man. You are selling us out. This is not right. I do feel a little guilty about this, to be honest with you. Now, mama's got a full-time job. And her full-time job is taking care of those children. And just love taking care of everything. And you know what? Give her the time to do it. I mean this with all my heart. And we did. I'm not just saying stuff that we haven't done. I'd rather live on rice and beans for 10 years and have my wife home with our daughters than I would come home to filet mignon every evening and not have mama with my children. I mean that. And whatever sacrifice, preacher, it's impossible. I don't think it is. And I'm going to help you in a second here. Boy, I'm going long and I got a couple more points. But can you give me, would you give me about an hour? Okay. If you start high, then 10 minutes don't sound like you asked for much. Okay, I'll only take 10 minutes then. Is that all right? I'm not going to keep you an hour. But I want you to listen to me. It's busy times. And I know there's a lot of pressure. Let me go quickly to number four, okay? It ought to be a season of wise financial decisions. We've been taught to serve our church, serve our generation, serve our children. What about this one, preacher? Serve your future. Serve your future. A season of service, a season of wise financial decisions. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Look at me. The Bible pictures life, all of your life, as one growing season. It does. And you know where you're at right now? You're in planting time. You're in the beginning of the summer. And you know what you need to do? You need to go out in the fields and you need to plant and make sure so that you have a harvest in your older years. Please listen to me. This decade right here, you need to make, and by the way, 20-somethings, listen to me. If you can start some of this earlier than in their 30s, good advice. But please listen to me. There's a few things that you ought to try to get done in your 30s. If you haven't by then in your 30s, men, listen to me. Preacher, I can't work just one job and have one income and make it. Let me help you. Number one, in your 30s, learn to maximize your earning potential. Okay, a lot of times, 20-somethings, you know what? You're working entry-level jobs. Got it. You got to start on the bottom rung of the ladder. But you know what? You shouldn't be at the bottom rung of the ladder. Listen to me. Listen to me. Still working a minimum wage job. And if you think $10, $12 an hour is marrying money, it's not. Brother Frank, am I wrong on that? In this day and age with the cost of stuff? And what I'm saying is, in your 30s, you need to figure out how to begin to maximize your earning potential. And as you do that, you're going to be able to make it so that mama don't have to go to work. Are you listening to me? What do you mean by that? Maximize your earning potential. Well, if you've been working an entry-level job, hopefully you've been doing such a good job, you've got noticed by now. Now's the time where promotions ought to be coming on. And if they're not, sit down with your boss and ask him. And by the way, don't ask him and then get mad at the answer. Because if you ask a man out in business, he's going to tell you the truth. You know, I've been working here for 8 years now, and I saw myself going farther in the business than that. Could you be very honest with me and tell me I'm watching some other guys get promoted? Why am I being overlooked and I'm not upset? I really do want the truth. And you know what he may just say? He may just say, you know why? Because you still have to be supervised, and I can't have a guy that needs to be supervised to be a supervisor. Or he may say this, watch this. It may not be your work ethic at all. He may just look at you and say, you know what? To get that position, you need an associate's degree. You know, right now you can go on online classes and you can get degrees in your spare time. You say, preacher, I know. You stay up and you do it. But you play with the kids till it's bedtime. By the way, 8 o'clock's a good time for that. All right, I don't want to be unreasonable, 8:15. There's a reason kids ought to be at bed at a decent hour, because then you have time as adults to not only spend time together, but to get some things done. Because if you haven't figured it out, if you're going to be a success in this life, it's going to require long days. So the boss might just say, you know what, if you get a degree, I'd love to promote you, but I can't fill that position because you have to have a degree in this. Well, you know what? Get it. You walk around the rest of your life complaining because you never get a promotion, you don't make enough money. Do something to change your circumstances. Okay, and if that means working during the day and doing some classes at night, that means that's what it means. But the goal, sir, and I'm talking to the men, not the ladies right now, the goal is for us to put our wives in this position where they're securely and well taken care of and allowed to be mommies, and we can live on a one income, even if we have to be frugal, but you have to maximize your earning potential to do that. Stay with me. I'm looking at some of you, and I feel like I'm talking a foreign language, but you need to listen, please. In your 30s, if you haven't bought a home, I'm suggesting you buy a home in your 30s. Make that a goal. In your 30s, begin saving for retirement. Now, I'd like you to do it in the 20s, but it's almost impossible to get people in their 20s to do it, and I get it. But if you can in your 20s, the earlier, the better, start saving for retirement. I'm not a financial advisor. There's people out there that are. Go talk to one of them. In your 30s, you ought to be insured against potential loss. I'm going through this quick, but I'm trying to get you out of here. Which means there are things that you just need to make sure that you can afford. I believe you ought to have a term life insurance policy at minimum. That way, sir, if something happens to you, your wife is taken care of. She doesn't have to go to work, you know, the week after your funeral. You ought to have some insurance. Realize that the best investments, watch this, the best investments against the future are heavenly ones, not earthly ones. Malachi 3, verse 8 and 11. Will a man rob God? You've robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You can buy all the insurance you want. You rob God of tithes and offerings. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be cursed with the cursed. That's what the Bible says. He said that, you know what? He'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I'm going to tell you right now, you laugh, mock, say whatever you want to. Preacher just after money. You say what do you want to. Best insurance policy you can have, show up on church every Sunday with a tithe check, tithes and offerings, put it into play. And then if we had time, we'd go to Philippians chapter 4, where God promises to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory as you give to missions. And so I think you ought to, on a very practical, sensible level, build some safety into your life. But the best promises that the Bible has in finances is this. Give tithes and offerings and give to missions and see if God don't take care of you. And the Bible's true. I've never, ever, ever, ever been able to find somebody that walked up and willing to and say to me, you know what, we've been faithful, tithes, offerings, and missions given for all these years. And now, you know what, Bible says, God says he will not suffer the righteous to beg bread. He's going to take care of his own. I'm not saying he'll live like a millionaire. I'm saying he's going to take care of your needs. And so make wise financial. The last one is this. It's a season of reevaluating. A season of reevaluating. What's going to happen halfway between 30 and 40 years of age? What's going to happen halfway? Psalms 90, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I love that verse. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they may be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow would is soon cut off, and we fly away, we fly away. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. What happens halfway between 30 and 40? Something called 35. All right, 35. And in this decade, you're going to reach the halfway point of your life. Now, God may be gracious. He may extend your life. But everybody that hits 35, you know what? There's a kind of a realization that comes into play is there's a very good chance I've got, you know what, more years behind me than I do ahead of me. And, Mrs. Fulkerson's cheating everybody. I mean, I don't know how she's pulling this off. But you know what? You hit 35 years of age and your life's half done. Listen to me. Your life's half done. Watch this. It's time, if you haven't, it's time to do some reevaluating. And we'll talk next week about midlife crisis. I'm not talking about going teenage crazy because you're in a panic because life's going to pass you by. I'm talking about evaluate some things. Look right up here. Watch this. Are you saved? Because you're closer to death than you are to being born. Better make sure. If you've put it off this long, you better make sure you know Jesus is your Savior. Talking about reevaluating. Number two, is your life being spent for things of this earth with no heavenly investment? There's a judgment seat. You know what my dad said all the time? You ought to live your life with one eye on the judgment seat. It's going to mean something in that day that you serve the Lord. I think in your 30s, it's just a great time to just really take a step back and say, you know what? What have I accomplished? By the way, let's stop and have a praise fest about all the things God's taken care of us and be thankful. But wait a minute. If this thing's half done, what is it exactly that the Lord wants me to do? And do I need to change priorities? Do I need to rearrange some things in my life? Do I need to set some goals? And I'm going like this, short-term, mid-range, long-term goals. Do I need to set some goals? Do I need to live more purposefully? Evaluate your walk with God. If it's been helter-skelter, hit-miss for the first half of your life, you're going down the home stretch. You don't want to meet Jesus one of these days. Walk with him. Nail these things down. I hope this has been a help to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're talking about the seasons of life, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd help, Lord. as we evaluate where we're at, where we need to be. Dear God, thank you for this thing called life. It's an adventure. And every single time of life comes with its special blessings. And God, thank you for all of it. Good night from the beginning to the end. Thank you for walking through life with us and helping us. If there's someone here without Jesus as their Savior, I pray they'd be saved today. God, please. If there's someone, dear God, that's been squandering, perhaps wasting this precious thing called life, maybe they haven't been. Maybe they're just not maximizing their potential, dear God. And Lord, you've spoken to their heart. Please deal preciously with them. We pray these things in Jesus' name.